Now, there are lots of things that we're used to celebrating. Major holidays, birthdays, weddings. But there are lots of personal accomplishments, dates, and milestones that come in between those times. Our next guest has been thinking about what other things we might want to celebrate in addition to the big ones. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a personal milestone or moment in your life that you celebrate or take time to acknowledge? Do you have calendar dates that are special to you? Maybe an anniversary since you quit something, 1 year since you moved someplace new, paying off a loan, making a big life decision? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or share yours on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We asked around Wisconsin public media staff. Tom Blaine, production manager for WPR, said that he has a tradition of taking a long bike ride with friends as close to, if not on, the summer solstice. That was initiated by another, now former WPR staffer, our own Peter Sobel, some years back. And Joy Ratchkramer, an admin specialist at Wisconsin Public Media, says she and her husband celebrate the day after Christmas as their personal relationship holiday. Over a decade ago, they met up the day after Christmas and rekindled their high school friendship. 7 years later, he moved back to Wisconsin, arrived home the day after Christmas, lending a perfect symmetry to the day. Rachel Orr is a design editor to the Washington Post for The Lily and By the Way. Rachel, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob. Thanks for having me.
You posted, you started a conversation about this on social media a while back. What got you started thinking about this?
Well, so not being able to celebrate any milestones with friends and family over the last year and a half kind of made me not want to really wait to celebrate the big stuff, but also just like acknowledge some of the smaller accomplishments. And I don't plan on having kids. And if I do get married, I won't have typical celebrations. So I've really had to think about intentionally celebrating things that are unique to me.
Do you have any unconventional things that you celebrated all along or started to once you started thinking about this?
Yes. The whole thing that kicked this off was quitting smoking cigarettes. I just hit a year and 3 weeks of no smoking.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It was very hard. As a lot of people with addictions, I have quit, you know, several times, and I'm hoping that this one will be the last one. So I wanted to make it a little bit more special and acknowledge it a little bit more publicly and with friends. So I had a little bit of a park gathering a couple of weeks ago to really celebrate it with friends and people who were supportive of me during the past year. And the fact that I did it during a pandemic feels extra special.
Are you going to make that a regular calendar event, do you think?
I might. I hadn't thought about it, but yeah, I might. Yeah, that's one of the newer things. And then later this month, I'm celebrating 2 years of being single. And that's like a big deal as somebody who's a serial monogamist. So I plan on celebrating that by taking myself out to a nice dinner.
That sounds great. Now I'll share one of mine since you've shared a couple of yours.
Okay, yeah.
I'm an adoptive parent, as some listeners know. And we, my wife and kids and I, the twin girls, we've celebrated a family day, we call it, the day we brought them home from the foster center. And for a long time, it was, you know, nice restaurant food. And we'd tell the story of the day we brought them home. They're teenagers now. They don't want to hear the story anymore. They know the story. But we still do something on or near family day. Now, you, Rachel, asked a lot of people, and you got a lot of responses, I understand. What were some of the things you heard from people about their personal celebrations?
Yeah, so I shared this on my Instagram story and got a lot more responses than I thought I would. Some of the themes that were really common were grief anniversaries. I thought that one was a super interesting one, spurred a lot of conversations. Also just like personal milestones, whether that's like a half birthday, coming out, adopting a cat or an animal. And then there were some that were like really like back to the basics, like a rainstorm or like just the fact of like waking up and getting out of bed. Like anything can be a celebration if we think about it. And it really gave me a lot of perspective, like looking at what everybody else had to say.
We're talking to Rachel Orr from the Washington Post, looking at personal milestones that we celebrate, not the big, you know, the birthdays, the anniversary, the holidays we observe year to year, but the personal things that we mark in one way or another. Might be something positive, might be a sad moment. Do you have something like that. You've heard a few examples so far. Do you have one to share it with us? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We heard from Alyssa Sagong, at the Director of Education with our friends at PBS Wisconsin. She says she has a tradition that she's seen a lot in the community of breast cancer thrivers and survivors. She noticed that people mark milestones like, you know, 2 years since their mastectomy, X number of years since diagnosis. And she says it feels really profound and significant after facing a diagnosis that you don't know the end outcome of, to mark how many years that becomes in the rearview mirror. Alyssa says, I think for me, the further away from it I get, the more I feel able to turn it into something celebratory. So that's a difficult moment that turns into this annual observation, Rachel.
Yeah, definitely. I just wanted to share a couple of the most unique answers I got that I thought were really interesting. So one woman said paying off her loans, but she decided to keep the calendar reminder every month. So she would do like a little fist pump because she did that. And I thought that was something I wouldn't have thought to do. And then another one was the celebrating calling off of your own wedding with a fancy dinner on the would-be date. So taking something that could be seen as negative, but turning it on its head a little bit and celebrating it. I thought that was really nice.
Did you hear either from your own experience or from the people who commented about, I don't know, the value of these kind of rituals and what it does for people?
Yeah, I mean, I think we gain a lot of perspective by being able to acknowledge that we can do hard things. And I also think it gives us momentum to continue to do the hard things. So throughout the pandemic, when I was quitting smoking, I treated myself with something small. Every month I did it. So every single month I was like, okay, I did it. 1 month down, 2 months, you know, 2 months down, 3 months down. And so I think acknowledging that we're doing something over and over again can just, at least it gives me momentum to continue doing it in the future.
And as you mentioned, this came to mind during the pandemic. And, you know, we've heard over the last year and a half from people, you know, replacing their in-church services with something online or in the parking lot and rethinking how they do family birthdays. There was really, it seems like, a hunger to observe milestones, the usual ones, or to create new ones.
Yeah, I think so, especially when, I don't know about everybody else, but I keep calling it the lost year, and it might be the lost years because I really don't have a concept of time anymore. So when we can track time in a different way, whether it's a milestone, something you did, something you didn't do for a period of time, I think that that becomes a little bit extra special.
Right now, we're picking up our talk with Rachel Orr, design editor at The Washington Post. We're talking about unconventional celebrations and milestones, something she's been thinking about lately. She asked people online and got a bunch of interesting responses. Do you have something like this? Do you mark something maybe every year commemorating a milestone? Maybe not the ordinary ones like the wedding anniversary, but something a little different off the beaten path. You could join in and tell us about it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Let's bring out a caller now. Marcus is on the line in Milwaukee. Marcus, hi.
Hey, so over the last year, and she said that it was a lost year, and I believe that it's only a lost year if you choose not to do something with it. I mean, you know, every day is a blessing, every day is a gift, and we should be thankful for that. And over this whole COVID period, I've created over 1,000 pieces of art, from sketches to drawings, sculptures, you know, and just as a celebration of each day, of each breath, you know, go out and do something, help somebody, you know, because the big things, Rob, the big things don't happen enough in life. And so if you're waiting on the big things, you're going to be sitting and be miserable a whole lot of time between when you buy a car and you buy your next big house or whatever. And so it's really the little things that make it life worth living and to keep going. You got to find them every day.
Marcus, thanks a lot for the call. I don't think Marcus is too far away from what you heard from people. Rachel, what were some of those little things that people decided to celebrate monthly or annually or whateverly?
Some of the things I got were like a month-long exercise regimen or starting medication or purging your closet, stuff like that. Also, I really love what he had to say. I kind of call it the lost year in terms of like, it feels like the time, like I don't know how to measure time anymore, but I completely love the way he framed that. And I completely agree. And 1,000 pieces of art is like beyond impressive. That's very, very cool.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Thanks, Marcus. Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go next to Jasmine in Janesville. Jasmine, hi.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Well, I retired last year, and I am a snowbird, and I live in two really fun places, both winter and summer, and there's a lot of drinking around. And I told myself for every 2 days that I don't drink that I get to buy myself a blooming plant to plant in my garden.
How many plants do you have now, Jasmine, if I may ask?
Well, since I started this, I got to buy 3 new ones because I just started it.
Oh, you just started. Okay, good to hear.
Yeah.
What did you get? What's the highlight plant so far?
Oh, well, I have begonia, hydrangea, and what's the third one? Oh, dianthus. Yeah, they're beautiful.
I don't want to be that guy, but are you getting any Jasmine?
Oh, I have that already.
All right, good. Of course you do. Thank you so much for that call, Jasmine. I love it. Every 2 days, no drinking, even though there's drinking around her a lot. She gets a new plant. So every other day thing, it could be Rachel.
Yeah, definitely. I really love that one a lot, Jasmine.
Thanks. And that idea of a treat. You mentioned, Rachel, for your quitting smoking, that you gave yourself a treat on, I think it was a monthly basis, Jasmine, every
yep.
other day. Did you hear a lot of that kind of thing from the people who responded to your Instagram post?
I did. Yeah. I think, like I said, with the building of the momentum, like acknowledging the little small steps, make it feel possible that you can do like the larger. And once I got to a year, I mean, I still every month acknowledge, you know, it's a month more, it's a month, it, you know, a day more. I totally think that's part of it.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. We're talking to Rachel Orr, design editor at the Washington Post. She's been thinking about kind of little rituals, celebrations, marking milestones, not the usual ones in our lives. She put it out online and found people had a lot of their own little special celebrations, commemorations, holidays, you name it. And you can join in with yours at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Rachel, you mentioned earlier a category you heard was in the sort of celebrations of life for someone who's passed. That's on our minds a lot at Wisconsin Public Radio. We lost Gene Purcell, a much-loved director here at Wisconsin Public Media. Maybe you can inspire us. What kind of celebrations did people have thinking back on a lost loved one?
Yeah, definitely. I was actually just looking those up again. One of my favorite ones, and it's like very specific to that person, but one of my friends said, I will eat Fritos with ketchup and watch SVU in my dad's memory. So I think like doing something special that person loved, somebody else said they do a reunion at the cemetery with them. Another person said they will always eat the person's favorite food, usually involving steak, this other person said. So commemorating with something they loved, I think, was a very, very common theme.
I think that's great because I think a lot of people will, you know, dread that date, the birthday that they associate with a lost loved one. So finding a way to, I don't know, to mark that in a positive way, that seems like a great idea. Did the people you talked to find, I don't know, some joy on what could otherwise be a tough day?
Yeah, the feeling I got from everybody, it was like they were happy to tell me about such a specific memory. Mm-hmm. Like one of my friends said that she'll eat hot dogs every time on her great grandma's birthday because she loved them so much. So like everybody was including like a lot of like smiley emojis and just like wistful memories of people. And I just think that is like such a positive way to like celebrate somebody's life instead of focusing on your own grief, which I think is also important, but the celebrating of somebody else's life is really cool to me.
Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Rick is with us in Neenah. Rick, hello.
Hello. Yeah, I like to celebrate the memories that come up on Facebook memories. And then my Amazon photo app has this day, right? And it pulls everything together that's kind of happened. And you just look at it, like remember the experience. And then I like to share it with those who were there and experienced it with me. And it's just a lot of fun.
Rick, I was thinking about those. Do you actually, like, you see that? Do you reach out and share that with the person who, I don't know, was that on that trip with you or at that event with her or whatever it was when you see those?
Absolutely. Like sometimes I'll share it like a general post. Other times I'll like take screen captures of it and like send it to someone individually or just chit chat with them about it. It's really fun to send it to my kids now that they're a little bit older and they get to go ahead and experience some of those things again with me.
Rick, thank you so much for sharing that with us. I appreciate it. And Rachel, I could see this going either way. Some people like having kind of a solitary celebration. Other people, as Rick did, sharing it one way or another. How did it break down in what people told you about versus, you know, a me thing versus an us thing?
I would say it was about 50-50. It felt like a lot of the grief anniversaries and the ways that people celebrated life was with other people to share in the memories together. But then a lot of the personal milestones, like the finishing a long-term project or paying off your credit card, seem to be more personal milestones. And I kind of did a combination where I took something I would normally celebrate in a solitary way, but decided to include friends. And I really think that was because of the pandemic and not being able to celebrate milestones in person.
Rick, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go now to Andrea in Sherwood. Andrea, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to tell us about, Andrea?
So I just celebrated 5 years health. I was diagnosed. Sorry, it's still hard. I don't actually do anything. It's just a memory day. On July 12th of 2016, I had an acute onset of an autoimmune disease, and I thought I was going to die within a month. And I'm 5 years post and healthy. And every July 12th, it's solitary of celebrating that I overcame this autoimmune disease that I will have for life, but every year is a blessing.
Andrea, wow. Thank you so much for sharing that with us today. I really appreciate your calling in to tell us about that. Here at Wisconsin Public Media, Sherry Bushell Walter talked about her son's diagnosis of type 1 diabetes that she marks every year. It's not a celebration, she says, but a marker of how long he's continued to live with it and not to let it define or limit him. A couple similar stories there, Rachel. Did you hear a lot about that? Like people marking, I don't know, maybe celebrating, but marking the diagnosis of something and that they're still here.
Yeah, I did hear a couple of those. They definitely weren't as many as I thought there would be, but there were a couple, and I think that's like just as important too.
Thanks again so much for sharing that with us today. Rachel, I don't know, you've heard a lot of these stories now, and I bet as people see this and hear about it, they keep volunteering more and more of them. What does it make you think about how important it is to have these rituals in our lives?
Well, especially the last caller, I think even just saying them out loud to other people is really important. Even if it is something you celebrate by yourself, but acknowledging it to other people, whether it's friends, family, or strangers, I think can like kind of speak it out into the universe. And it just gives me a lot of hope. I also liked the caller who mentioned the Facebook memories, because I do the same thing and didn't even think about it when I was considering this. That I'll reach out to friends, whether it's people I stay in touch with or not, and just, you know, remember memories with other people. And I think it's like a real way of connection that I feel like I'm like yearning for even more of with what is currently going on right now.
All right, I want to go in exactly the opposite direction from the serious stuff with a goofier one inspired by this song. I gotta say it was a good day. That's Ice Cube's Good Day, and Clint Walls at PBS Wisconsin said somebody figured out that Good Day of Ice Cube was on January 20th, 1992, and he celebrates January 20th by watching the video and just wishing my friends an Ice Cube good day. I don't know, Rachel, what do you think? Coming up with a good, wacky ritual, annual celebration, just our last 30 seconds, what do you think?
Yeah, I love that. I got some really funny, wacky responses too, like getting the perfect parking spot or just having a new crush, or just the fact that we get to eat chocolate. Like we can honestly celebrate anything. So maybe I'll celebrate Ice Cube having a good day too.
Rachel, thanks for joining us. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you, Rob.
That's Rachel Orr, design editor at the Washington Post for The Lily and By the Way. She joined us to talk about unconventional celebrations in life. Keep sharing yours on the Ideas Network Facebook page. When I keep thinking, I want to try to make a thing. I think it's in December, the day that Wisconsin's own Clyde Stubblefield recorded the drum track for Funky Drummer. Should be Funky Drummer Day. We should all celebrate by listening to that song and maybe even trying to play it on the drums, even if We're not really very good drummers ourselves.